cool part of town. And I saw a police cruiser. Well, first of all, when I pulled up to the park, there was a bunch of businessmen on the sidewalk who all jumped in their cars and drove away. Don't even want to pretend that I know what they were doing, but they were worried about my presence. And so I am there searching for this cache, and then I see a police cruiser roll by, very slowly, very interested in me, and they go on, and then a little bit later, they come back the street the other direction, and I'm like, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm in a public park. I'm during the open hours of the park. If they're interested, I'd be happy to spend as much time as necessary. I'm very compliant, and I respect our police officers and the job that they do. After two or three times around, they finally stopped, and actually, I disappeared into the bush to try to find the cache. When I come back, they're sitting there at my car, running the plates, and on the radio, doing the tags and all that. I step out, and you know, I identify myself, make sure they see me, because I don't want to approach them and spook them. I walk up and they're like, can we help you? And, yeah, I'm looking for a geocache. And they both gave me this look. I thought that all police departments by this day and age should know what a geocache is. They were totally clueless. Have you ever heard of geocaching? No, never heard of it. But what they saw was a dazed and confused man stumbling back and forth on the sidewalk in a very bad area. I was the only person of my ethnicity there at the time. It was twilight. It was the last rays of sunlight. You know, one of those, I'm on the way home and I want to pick up one more bonus cash for the day type moments. They gave me some wise advice, which was don't hang around very long, and left me on my way. I showed them a map. They said, well, it certainly couldn't be here for very long. I explained the cache, and I told them it's an Altoid 10, and it's somewhere within 30 feet of where we're standing. And they said, well, it's probably gone. Nothing stays around here for long. And I looked at my Palm Pilot, and I said, no, it's been here since 2002. They said, no, huh? And I really wish I could have found it and shown it to them at that time, because they couldn't believe that something could exist in that park for that long and not be destroyed or cleaned up. Whenever I told them, you know, that there are thousands in St. Louis, you drive past them every day, I saw a little bit of panic. Oh, my gosh. It's a conspiracy. And I also saw disbelief. And I had to show them on a map. You see, each one of these little dots is a cache. And here's a 10-block radius of where we are. And this is, of course, excluding the ones I've already found, because I delete them when I find them. Kind of gave them the rundown on geocaching. A lot of people try really hard to be inconspicuous when they're geocaching. And to me, that is the most conspicuous thing you can do.
If you're looking over
your shoulder trying not to be seen, that's when you stand out like the sore thumb. So I am always the hide in plain sight kind of guy. If anyone's curious, all they have to do is ask, hey, what are you doing? Because if it was such a secret that no one ever saw anyone geocaching, then how would we ever get new geocachers? We have to share this secret in order for it to work and for the community to grow. I don't mind wandering around like a dazed and confused fool in the middle of an open field in a park, because if that's what you think of me, well, you know, write a good story in your head, and I hope you enjoy it. I've seen so many times where if you just act like you know what you're doing, no one questions it. When I was in college, we took all the furniture out of a competing dorm, out of all their common spaces. And the way we did it was pulled up in front with a big truck, and four guys got out and started grabbing furniture and packing it in the truck. And we drove off and offloaded it and drove back and, you know, made 8 or 9 trips and cleaned out the dorm. No one ever said, hey, what are you doing? Because we looked like we knew what we were doing.
Yeah.
You know, so a little college prank, but I apply that same principle that, sure, you know, if you're confident and you do what you have to do, you do need some discretion, because if there's a bunch of teenagers out in an area, I might wave off a cache and not hunt it, because I hate to say I profile anyone, but I think we all do at some point, and if I think that there's a likelihood that my activity of hunting the cache is going to be detrimental to the cache, then by all means, it's not worth the smiley face. I don't wave off of every cache just because there's someone next to it. Because more often than not, that someone next to it is either indifferent, and sure, whatever, yeah, I'll move my paper and scoot over a little bit, you know. White Caps at Creve Coeur is a very challenging cache.
Is that the one where they suggest you take a boat?
They suggest you take a boat, although at several times of the year, the water table is low enough that you can walk to it. Mm-hmm. By any means, it's going to be an ordeal to get there, and I finally realized that White Caps was exposed by walking route. I live near there. I went out to that area. It's on a point on a peninsula that sometimes is an island, sometimes a peninsula. I got to that point where I was near the cache, and there was a boat with two fishermen in it, right off the cache. Well, I'm not about to go away. I mean, me turning around and leaving would have been more conspicuous, I think, because it's like I had no business being there, and I obviously had waders on up to my armpits and mud dripping off my earlobes. And, okay, so that's an exaggeration. But I got there, and here are these fishermen. I had the dog with me, of course, Napoleon. I walked past the cache and kind of did a little lap around the peninsula, thinking they were just drifting and they'd eventually be out of the way. But they were right there. That was their fishing hole. That's where they wanted. And so I came back around the second time, and they said, "Are you lost? Can we help you?" I said, "No, just looking for a geocache." And, I said, "Well, let me show it to you," because I'd spotted it by that point. And I said, you know, the typical, "Have you ever heard of geocaching?" "Oh, well, it's a treasure hunt game. Would you like to see what a geocache looks like?" And so I showed it to them. I signed the log. And I think by telling them what I was doing, I protected the cache more than if I'd have just signed it and ran away, because then they'd be curious, you know, "Well, what is he doing out here?" At the same point, I got to bag a cache that I had worked very hard to get to.
And educated a few people.
Educated a few people. And I also knew with my own discretion that being fishermen and outdoorsmen, they weren't a threat to the cache.
Right,
you know,
a gang of teenagers are going to look at that spot and after you're gone and say, "What are they doing over there? Let's go see what's there."
Right. Or it's a bread box full of toys in a park. You know, kids can't help it. They may not read the paper. That gets thrown out immediately.
Yeah, I can't read, but
look at all these neat toys, exactly. But I knew that these fishermen, to this day, I have no delusion that they're geocaching. I don't think they were interested at all.
No.
But by being outdoorsmen, they knew that I was just like another hunter or another fisherman or a hiker, that I was just using the outdoors the same way they were. They weren't going to sabotage the cache.
I definitely agree with Bill, and I'm the same way about it. My motto is the best way to be stealthy is not to try to be stealthy. When I searched for the cache that Bill was talking about with the police encounter, I actually searched it in the middle of the day, and this area is bad enough and filled with teenagers that have no fear. They were trying to tell me that I had to give them my bike. And so the one way I was stealthy is I took my GPS or put up to my mouth and said, "I might need someone to come down here." They left me alone. It was actually King's Ransom was the one I had found, and then I was going to, I think, Peachy Day or something like that. I have yet to have a cache that I haven't done because other people were around. Stretching against a tree and letting your fingers fall into the V of that tree. So I've climbed trees before so that I could get the cache on the way up and get on a branch and sign the cache and then put it back on the way down. You're not doing anything wrong, and don't act like you're doing anything wrong by looking around or ducking behind a bush.
One of my fondest memories, geocaching. My mother came to town. I don't think she'll mind that I tell that she's 67 years old. She's a very active woman, loves to get out and hike. She understands my addiction to geocaching and wanted to come with me. We went to do Big Gun, which is up in the north side of town, and it's a howitzer in a park near a playground and a pavilion. The howitzer is not part of the playground. It's more of a memorial by a flagpole by a pavilion. But the kids on the playground can't help but want to climb up and down the howitzer. It's a piece of equipment just like a tank in a park would be. I was a little hesitant to approach. I had an older brother with me who wasn't going to have anything to do with it. He sat on a bench and you guys go have fun. My mother, straight to it, she wasn't going to let a group of five-year-old kids climbing on a gun deter her from geocaching. And she goes and she, of course, being grandmotherly of nature, it's a lot easier to approach, because whenever I approach a park, a lot of parents are concerned, and they should be. They have every right to be. And they should keep a close eye on me. But they can't jump to the conclusion that I am there with ill intentions, just because you don't understand what my intentions are. My mother goes to the gun, and she starts looking immediately, and she's talking to the kids, and she's explaining to them, trying to enlist them into helping to look for it. So I'm laying on my back in the gravel, looking up under the howitzer. My mother's checking more easily accessible places. We got kids climbing all over the gun, and we're more or less marshaling the children like their parents should have been, because they were throwing gravel at each other, and her parenting skills came into effect. It's one of my fondest memories of looking for that cache with my mother, not being deterred by the fact that we weren't the only people enjoying that piece of the park that day. We didn't interfere with the kids playing, and they didn't interfere with our hunt. You know, I learned a lesson from my mother that day, that it's okay for me to go and search a piece of equipment on a park. I have to understand and be tolerant of families that are there and their concerns, but they also need to have the same amount of understanding and tolerance of the reason that I'm there and what my concerns are. We do certainly have a lot of panic and a lot of Chicken Little, the sky is falling, that's more invasive now than it ever has been. Fear is a natural emotion, but we can't use fear as justification for oppression. It's a delicate line, and I understand it's a delicate line.
I'll do one final wrap-up, and I'll give Adam a chance to say something.
I asked him, are you going to talk? And he said, if I have anything to say, so.
Well, guys, thanks for hanging out. Any final words?
The best thing that I could give to people is take what you learn in geocaching and use it in the world, because it's really kind of amazing how often the skills you develop of looking for things out of place, also just enjoying places and making the most out of your time in places and appreciate what's around you. Look around and see what's around you in your world.
Final words?
Peace, love, and happiness.
There you go. Adam?
I think Steven summed it up for me. Enjoy your day. Use it as a tool to appreciate what you have available to you.
Life is precious. Cherish every moment.
July 21st is our Slog of Summer picnic at White Cliff Park in a St. Louis suburb. I'll be there with my audio recording equipment. I'm going to try to do more of a sound-seeing tour than I've done in the past. What that means is I'm going to try to describe what I see as I move around the area. I'll get ambient sound, sounds of people talking, eating, playing. I'll follow some people around as they hunt caches in the park. I'll wrangle some people for on-the-spot sound bites, and if I'm lucky, make plans with some of them for future podcast episodes. The picnic will already be over by the time this podcast is published. On July 28th, Slog will have a tent at the Bush Outdoor Adventure Expo held at the shooting range at Bush Wildlife Area. Slog has been there over the last 3 years. We set up temporary caches and show interested visitors basic GPS use and what geocaching is all about. It's a lot of fun to meet people and check out other exhibits. The firing range events are literally a blast. You are allowed to try out some of the guns and ammo. That's it for now. This is Paul signing out. Thanks for listening.
This concludes the Slogga Podcast. For more information about the Slogga Group and geocaching in the St. Louis, Missouri area, go to www.geostl.com. Here's wishing you a strong signal and a trusty bearing.